Good morning. Second part of Slichos. But we still have post-Shacharis learning, even during Slichos. Okay, so Rashi tells us about why Avram's name was changed, but not just why it was changed, but how it was changed. Rashi tells us that, what was his name? His name was Avram. That didn't convey that he was Avram Ongoyim, but didn't convey the universalism. To convey the universalism, he had to insert a hey, Av Hamon. So what should happen? His name should go from being Avram to being Avham, to being the Avhamon Goyim. Why is he called Avraham? But you never thought about that. So Rashi says, well, the Reish isn't going anywhere. The original Reish from Avram, which he was the father of Aram Naharayim because he was a religious figure, he wanted to provide spiritual guidance, successfully or not, but he was seen as the Avram, now becomes Avraham, even though he's shifting to being the Avhamon Goyim, he should be called Avham. He's referred to as Avraham because the Reish isn't going anywhere. And Rashi says, and you even see that because the Yud of Sarai, when it got deleted and became Sarah, was disappointed. And Hashem had to make it up for Yud and had to give back the Yud some street creds when Hashem implanted it into Yeshua's name. What is going on here? Why does it make a difference whether the Reish of Avraham remains or doesn't remain? This is really important in life. And it's really important for Shana Aleph boys. Avram is shifting. Avram is growing. Avram is transitioning. Avram is becoming a new person. Question is, when you become an old person, do you divorce yourself from your past? Or you continue to grow based on your past, and you transition, and you grow, and you develop, but you still maintain your past? The fact that he retains the Reish from his previous name means that all of his past experiences aren't for naught. He's not deleting and rebooting. He's taking his past, and he's now becoming something additional, not something different. So that's why the Reish isn't going anywhere, because as he grows and he develops, he's still in touch with his past, his experiences, the lessons he learned, the traits he picked up, even the friends he made and the traits he could pick up. It's a bit really hot topic for boys your age. What should I do with my old friends? What should I do with my past? What should I do with my past experiences? Well, if you had those experiences and Hashem put you into that situation, there's something Hashem wants you to take from that situation. And life is, a lot of people aren't in touch with their past, especially as you get older, you forget your past. The more you are in touch with the past, the more holistic and complete your experiences, because you're living not just the present, you're living all the 30 years, all the 20 years, all the 40 years, all the experiences, all the feelings. It's much richer, it's much deeper than just being stuck in the moment. Now, interesting to contrast this change in Avram's name with the change in Yaakov's name. When Yaakov's name changes, it becomes a completely different name. Hashem doesn't manipulate some of the letters and add a few letters, but he completely switches Yaakov's name to Yisrael. That's because Yaakov really is living two different modes. He's living the mode of Yaakov, which is the struggle, holding on to Esav's foot, the struggle of history. Yisrael is the triumph of Jewish history, Kisarisa. So Yaakov becomes a prototype for two different phases in Jewish history through his life. There are moments of struggle and moments of triumph. Moments of Yaakov and moments of Yisrael. And these reflect the two different stages in Jewish history.
Adonai, El Rachon Echanon, Erech Apayim, Rechesed, BMS, Etzer Chesed, Elechon Atzi, Avam, Bofesha, Vechata, Benakei, Zlachta, Labaninu, Elechataseinu, Nechaltanu.
So for Yaakov, the name's really different because we're trying to build two very, very different modes to represent two different modes of Jewish history. For Avraham, the name is just a shift. The Reish is retained, now it becomes Avraham, not Avham. So it's a fascinating, fascinating question about how we change. Let's talk about another name in Parshas Lech Lecha. In this case, not the name of a hero, but the name of a villain. So Rashi quotes the Midrashim that all these kings, not just the four kings who were the tyrants and the persecutors, but even some of the five kings, they weren't exactly tzaddikim. Now some of their names are obvious. Bera, why would you have Ra in your name? Obviously, you don't represent the forces of good, but you're an evil or wicked person. Why would you be Shin'av? You hate your father. You hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sone'av. But how does Rashi convert Shem Ever into a villain? What's wrong about being Shem Ever? Nothing wrong there. You're not Birsha or Sin'av or Shin'av. Your name is Shem Ever. So Rashi says, basically, Shem Ever was Icarus. You know the story of Icarus, the Daedalus and Icarus? They wanted to put on wings. They tried to make wings to fly up to Shemayim, to be immortal. So basically, Greek mythology got Daedalus and Icarus from Shem Aver. Some Aver, he put on wings, and he tried to fly to heaven. And why do you want to fly to heaven? So Rashi says, not just to see the stars and to land on the moon, but some Aver Lof, he put on a body limb like a bird, the likpots, he wanted to fly up to Shemayim, the limrod b'Hashem, and rebel against Hashem. Does this sound familiar? Let's go to Shemayim and rebel against Hashem? So what's happening to humanity, aside from the obvious rebellion and heresy, what's happening behind the scenes is the following. If you believe that Hashem is only in Shemayim, then to rebel against him, you have to go to his location. And you have to get up to Shemayim somehow, because you can't really rebel here. Avram is working in the opposite mode. Avram is trying to remind people he's Konei Shemayim Varetz when he meets Malki Tzedek, that Hashem is in Shemayim, but Hashem Varetz in Loa. He's also Batachtonim. That was Avram's entire premise, that Hashem is involved in this world, and Hashem didn't just create the world, but he steers this world, and he's present in this world. And he finally reaches that when he renames Shalem in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayavor Adonai al panav yikra. Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Bechanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chasef, VMS, Notzer Chasef, Alafim, Nasei Avon, Vafesha, Vechata'a, Venakei, Vesalachna, Lavaneinu, Lechataseinu, Lechaltanu. So when he renamed Shalem as Yerushalayim, because of Behar Hashem Yera'ah, that Hashem is actually here on earth, on this mountain. So aside from the obvious, the rebellion of the Migdal Bavel, according to Chazal, and the rebellion of Shem Aver, according to Chazal, there's a faulty premise of religion that Avram's going to dedicate his life to correcting, that Hashem is only in Shemayim. If you want to rebel, he's right there. You don't have to go to Shemayim. You can just rebel against the Kodesh Baruch Hu in your world. Hashem Aretzim Loa. So you're starting to see part of the fraudulent views of religion that Avram has to try to battle. It's not just when it expresses itself in heresy, but even when it's not heretical, the fraudulent views, the mistaken views of Hashem, that I have to get to Shemayim by building a tower, and I have to get to Shemayim by putting on wings and flying towards heaven. So the name of Avram is interesting, and the name of Shem Aver is also interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the people of stone. Not just the people of stone, but the king of stone. During the war, they fell into these little pits, okay? The Lashon of the Pasuk is, Ve'emek HaSidim, so it's a little valley, Be'eros, Be'eros, Chimar. They had Be'eros, they had pits or wells, but they were filled with Chimar. We know what Chimar is in Parshas Noah, Chomer. It's a liquidy, solidy, quicksandy substance. It probably wasn't mortar, but it was some area, or some material that you would sink into and you couldn't get out of. Unfortunately, we always have situations. We had a bad situation or so a few years ago where some boys went into a well to swim around, they just couldn't get out, and unfortunately, there was a fatality. So not because of the quicksand, because of the cold water that was stuck there. Sometimes you have people that get stuck in wells that are very, very high. So the people of stone, Melech Stone, were stuck in these very, very deep wells. They couldn't get out of them, and they had some substance into which they were sinking. Why is this important, and why did Hashem do that? So Rashi says, Medrash Agada, Shayatit Mugbal Bahem, there was some quicksand in these wells, Vinasa Nesla Melech Stone. And Hashem performed a miracle that they miraculously got out of these wells that typically no one ever escaped from. Okay, because people were doubting the Avram story of Or Kasdim. They were doubting that Avram was saved from the Kivshan Aish. So, Kivan Shiyatza Zem Minachemar, so when Melech Stom escaped from these pits, so Haminu B'Avram L'Mafreya. What's happening here? So first of all, it's interesting, why was their escape a verification of Avram's Nes? Why were they connected to us? Just because they escaped doesn't mean that Avram had escaped from the Kivshan Aish. So the Ramban actually relates to this, that evidently it wasn't just that they escaped miraculously, but Avram had a hand in their escape. When Avram walked by these wells, they miraculously leapt out of the wells and jumped out of the wells. So it wasn't just that they had a personal miracle. They said, well, Hashem saved us, and Hashem must have saved and rescued Avram, but they realized that Avram had some role. But even if you don't say the Ramban, what you hear is, and you see is, this is the first time in human history that people are being exposed to miracles. I can't stress this enough. We are far down the road in monotheism. We have an accepted tradition of what monotheism is and what Hashem does to us. We pray for miracles. Humanity had never witnessed miracles until this point. Even Noah's rescue from the flood wasn't miraculous. He built an ark. He built a boat that could withstand the year. He put food into the ark. He brought animals. Nothing miraculous about Noach's teva. We know the miracle is Hashem forewarned him and Hashem helped him build. But if you're just a bystander and you're living in the year 2000, you've never seen a miracle. In fact, the only divine interventions you've seen have been death and destruction and scattering and dispersal. And you believe Hashem is angry and Hashem is vengeful. And therefore, when you hear the stories that Avram was saved from the Kibshon Aish, you say, wait a second, Hashem doesn't perform miracles, and if he performs miracles, it's to kill human beings that he hates, not to save their lives. So Hashem has to start building this tradition, not only the tradition of miracles, but the tradition that Hashem's miracles are meant to save human beings and to rescue humanity. And that's a very interesting comment on Avram. Avram probably didn't think that he was going to be saved from the Kibshon Aish. We believe Avram is this staunch ideologue who says Hashem is on my side. Yes, I'm Raphael. Throw me into the Kibshon Aish. I'm untouchable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect me. But if you've never seen a miracle, you're fully expecting to die. And Avram had never seen a miracle. So Avram was most inevitable, HaKadosh Hashem, without any expectation that he would survive. Maybe Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah had a different feeling. They had already Avram's tradition to base their confidence on. But Avram wasn't expecting any miracle. So Hashem is saying, I have to start performing miracles for humanity so A, they'll understand the concept of miracles and divine intervention, and B, they won't see me as angry and vengeful and murderous. They'll see me as someone that takes you out of the Kibshon Aish and that helps you escape from Beres Kemah. So it's a little challenging today, so let's review. Number one, Avram's name changes, but it doesn't become something new. It's just a development, it's a progression. Avram becomes Avraham. But the race remains because his past remains, because your past has to remain with you even as you grow. What you shave and what you shed, that's a personal decision. You can't just say, I'm a new person, cutting myself off from my past, never talk to any of my friends, dress differently, speak differently, behave differently. It's not a healthy way to grow. That's a wild pendulum swing that ultimately swings the other way. I've seen it too often in life. Number two, Shem Aver was basically Daedalus or Icarus. He put on wings like a bird, according to Rashi, went to fly to heaven to rebel against Hashem. But it indicates, it signals a certain faulty premise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only in Shemayim, we have the earth, and now we can storm the heavens and take over the heavens as well. The third issue is the Melech stone was caught in these pits of cement, quicksand, mud or something, and Hashem performed a miracle to verify A, that he performs miracles, and B, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves lives, doesn't just take lives. Okay? Shir today will be at 8:51. Yeah.